water here. Sometimes my mouth dries up. Sorry, y'all. Do I need to set a timer? I should, right? How much time?
Yeah,
30 minutes. 30 minutes? I need to know because I'll just be drunk the whole time, you know what I mean? I really like to be drunk. Okay. All right. Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm nervous. You know what? I've been asked to speak in front of like a lot of people, but they were all like old timers. Like I love old timers. I feel so safe. And then when I get in front of my peers, I really care what you guys think about me. I'm sure none of you can relate. Okay, so try to get spiritual. And when people ask me to speak, it's really funny because I'm like, oh my God, don't do anything insane because I have to share about my life and sound like I have it together. I'm serious. Actually, I recently was asked to speak on insanity and they were like, you did a great job. I'm like, I don't know how to take that. So my name's Josephine. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, my sobriety date is July 25th, 2015, and my home group is the Bradenton YPG. I have a sponsor, she has a sponsor. I just started sponsoring. I wasn't very good at it, so I just like backed away and did a whole bunch of other service. Not scared to admit that. There were so many ways that I can apply myself in AA. I had like severe codependencies. Like I was not a good sponsor for a while. Like I really have to, I had to work on that. So, speaking of that, my environment growing up, God, it's so juicy, but I'm trying not to be a victim. I'm in school for psychology, so I'm like, God, fuck, screw you guys. Like, what did you do? And you know what? Like, it's funny that I'm in school for psychology because when I was little, like, I diagnosed the whole family. Like, I've been doing that for a very long time. Like, I was like, you're screwed up. Why did you have kids? We are all screwed up. And I don't want to be in this family. Like, God, it was so mean. And I've been able to make amends to all my family members now. Sometimes it's hard to be around some of them because there's so much dysfunction. And I gotta say though, like I've had the opportunity, like my mom went to Al-Anon. That's how I knew when I was really screwed. Like I was like, oh my God, because she would stop letting me like come home and detox there. Cause she's like the best house to detox at because she does like Reiki. So she would just like run all the energies. And I'd be like, this is great. I haven't slept for days. So yeah, growing up, like I just really learned to be whatever you wanted me to be. Like my first drug was attention. I really liked that. And I would just do whatever you wanted me to do. Like I was friends with everybody, like every single group in high school I was friends with. I really couldn't afford to like have any problems with you because I really needed you to feel okay with myself. And I did that for a while. And God, when I got a drink, I really needed it. You know, like I just remember being extremely obsessive. Like, I don't know, I read about OCD and I'm like, yeah, I have that. Like, a lot. And, you know, it's part of this disease, but like, I was extremely obsessive when I was little. Like, I would obsess about like tweezing my eyebrows, like I barely had any, just like everything, like my clothes. And I would do really crazy things. Like I would save all my lunch money all week and not take the bus and like walk home miles just so I could like buy something on the weekend. I don't know. Really obsessive little kid. So my first drink was just like, I didn't really know what alcohol was, so I took like 12 shots of Bacardi 151, and I just like, I remember like a half hour, and went, the last thing I remember was like a few women, and then I woke up and the whole school was there. So actually that kept me a little bit sober for a while, because like everybody knew who I was, but I didn't know what the hell happened, and that was how I drank. And so I fast forward, you know, that was my first experience, and a lot of times, like, I would do really embarrassing stuff, and it would, like, really humiliate me, so I would, like, chill out for a while, but I was just miserable when I couldn't drink or put something in my body. Drugs are a part of my story. I don't know. I'll try to mask it a little bit, but I don't know how, what the rules are here. Okay. And you know what? I come to AA because, like, it just started with alcohol and all of it. Like, it talks about addiction in the AA book, you know, recovering from alcoholism and addiction. And it didn't matter what it was. Like, I'll get high on a t-shirt. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I'll get high straight sober today all the time. Like, I can get really manic on stuff. Like, I am such an alcoholic. So, yeah, I just, the first, like, intervention was, my family wanted to have an intervention, and my dad was, like, freaking out, and he, like, paid me 10 grand not to talk to him anymore. Like, I don't know, he's like severely paranoid, that I was going to like, because somebody in our family sued their parent for their alcoholism, which I'm like, should have done that. But I did not. So I think he was really worried. So I just took that money and moved. And from there on, like, I just kept really trying to, like, change my environment. Like, I can easily think that, like, this is the reason why I feel this way, you know? And I did that a lot. I would always move and, like, I would get a cat. My family has adopted like 4 or 5 of my cats, which is funny because my mom had to get rid of her cat, and like nobody even asked me. They were like, you were taking this cat, because like I would just like start a new life, get an animal, and then everything would fall apart because I was like white knuckling it with no program. And I moved to Massachusetts and just like bottomed out even harder. I just was trying every drug. And alcohol just to change the way I felt, and I was miserable. Like, I just really hated myself. I have tried to kill myself in every city that I've lived in. I have been to psych wards in every city that I've lived in. The one in Sarasota, they know me, first, last name. They could spot me from a mile away. Here she comes again. And I mean, like, this, well, I don't know, it's real dark. Like, I just had so many attempted suicides. One time I stabbed myself. I don't know if that makes anybody uncomfortable. I can't believe I did this stuff either. Like, I had a boyfriend, he was like, you're crazy. I'm like, yeah, you wanna see crazy? You know what I mean? Like, I did another time with like my neck. I took a knife and like crazy. Like, I was like the poster child of like mentally handicapped person. So, you know, we are all walks of life. I just needed extra sobriety. Like, some are sicker than others. And I came into this program, like, I'll talk about, God, I feel like I'm almost done. So that happened in Massachusetts, and then I bottomed out in Massachusetts. I dated a guy, and he was, like, abusive. And it's funny, because I say he's abusive, but, like, I was abusive. Like, I would, like, be like, hit me. You hit me. You know, like, and for, like, years in recovery, I was like, I was a victim of abuse. And I look back at it and I'm like, I was so verbally abusive. Like, that was something that I learned in my recovery too. Like, you know, I can have a sharp little tongue. Verbal abuse, like, I have had men crying. I'm sorry, don't date me. Yeah, I dated this one guy, and we like had this big fight, and I was like, oh. And then after like being so verbally abusive, I was like smiling, and he was crying, and I was like, what's wrong with you? He's like, nobody's ever talked to me like that. I'm like, well, I'm not mad anymore. I feel fine. You know, like, I was like, and I had no idea. And that's another thing in recovery. And you know what? I'm grateful because, like, I'm the type of person where, like, I can actually really handle it when someone's being an asshole because, like, I 100% know that most of the time they don't even know they're acting like that because I had no idea I was like that. And the way that people treat you is 100% a reflection of, like, what their internal struggle is. Like, I can't tell you how much I align with, like, a deeper statement. Like, so I'm really grateful for all that because, like, I have so much compassion because, like, I was so terrible to people and I didn't even realize it, you know? I was such a man-hater, too. I really liked that. Yeah, you know what? Even there was a time where I remember where I wasn't drinking and I dated this guy and I just like was high on like telling him what to do. Like I was so controlling. And I broke up with him because he was like doing drugs. But then when I broke up with him, I did drugs. Like just a lot of insanity in my life that I didn't even realize about. That's why it's been like hard. Like in my recovery, it's been, this was the first holiday around my family that we didn't get in a fight. Like my dad actually came. Because he didn't have a choice, he actually hurt his foot, and he turns his phone off on holidays, and he wanted me to bring him food, and I was like, you're definitely coming because you're handicapped, and I'm making you. So, but it was nice, we were all together, and we didn't fight, because I've gotten in, like, going around my family was just, like, little by slowly, because, you know, we all got this thing, and my dad's more of, like, a functioning alcoholic, whereas, you know, my mom's, like, the codependent in Al-Anon, and my sister, I don't know, she, like, was messing around for a while, but now she like just obsessively gardens and beekeeps, which is great. She's a beekeeper. She's really good at it because she will make sure she gets everything done. And you know what? Today I just really try to use my alcohol. Like this stuff doesn't go away. Like I am so obsessive. I'll be obsessing about getting the A. I'm in school and I'm like, I gotta get the A. And you know what? Today I just really try to love those parts. Like sometimes I can't make them go away. Like they're just there. And I just try to use them for good things. So like during the pandemic, I'm probably all over the place, but during the pandemic, like, I had a great time. Like, I got into gardening, and I was, like, obsessing over plants, and, like, I had to find the best plant, and, like, I'd be meeting up with my recovery crew, and I'd be like, this fire bush is awesome. Like, I was such an alcoholic with gardening. Like, I spent thousands of dollars at the nursery. Like, they all know who I am. And, you know, when I go there, I'm, like, getting high, so when they try to talk to me, I'm like, cannot. I feel, like, paranoid. Like, it's literally, like, I'm telling you, my alcoholism can just go towards anything. And that's fine. And I just use it for good, and I try not to harm people and help everybody out, and it works out right now. So, where am I? I don't even know where I'm at. So, okay, we'll go back. So my first rehab was 2011, and for me, like, rehab was like, it was just like, I didn't really understand. I don't know, I think I burned so many brain cells. You guys, this psychology stuff, I'm like, my gray matter is gone, okay? Like, and I feel like I just never knew what anybody was talking about, like, coming to these meetings. Like, I don't know if any of you had that experience. Like, I'm like, am I, like, severe brain damage? Like, it took me years to understand what a page of the Big Book, like, is saying. Or maybe it's just, like, in this bubble of denial. Who knows? Who knows? I'm not gonna try to figure it out, but I really didn't know what was going on. Just thought we were taking a vacation. And mainly my aunt was shaking me, and she's like, go to AA. And I was like, you're fucking crazy. And so, like, first rehab was just like a party. Like, and I, like I said, I'm really good at, like, getting you to think I'm okay. Like the time I stabbed myself in the psych ward, it was funny, this guy, I was like, we gotta get out of here. And this guy was like, I've been here for a month because I'm depressed. You just stabbed yourself. And I was like, no. And I got out in 3 days. Like, that is the extent to, like, I'm going to tell you that I'm okay. Like, very manipulative. Like, I'll tell you all about myself. So you're like, wow, she knows some shit. Like, so I just, like, went and told everybody what they wanted to hear. And I always was doing it, like, to keep the family happy. So that didn't sink in. And then I really bottomed out. Like, I just got worse and worse and worse. And I just kept doing, you know, we do all the things. Like, I did whatever it took to, like, get what I needed to get. Like, any demoralizing thing you can think of, like, I just completely was bottom, like, reduced to animalistic levels. And I was, like, I was going to psych ward so much that they were, like, Josephine, like, the next time you come here, like, we're gonna have to start evaluating you for state hospitals. Like, this is insane. Because I would go in psychosis. I'm sure you can use your imagination. I was a terrible drug addict. Like, the drug dealers didn't want to, like, give me drugs. You know, they were like, not this one. And I did. I, like, called the cops on myself 2013 was a strong year for me. I was like, I called the cops on myself, and I was like, I've been really bad. And they were like, where are you? You know, like, and I was like, I'm in a ditch because I deserve it. And that's a real story. And that was, like, when I really started, like, I got to a point, like, it was a good bottom, because, like, I really started being like, you know what? I'm a piece of trash, and if I go to jail, this is what I deserve. Like, let's go right now. And then the cop picked me up and took me to the psych ward, of course. And then even in the psych ward, I was like, I need to call my mom. And I got on the phone, and I would call the cops, and they were like, she's calling the cops. And they would, like, tackle me, and I was like, I need to go to jail. Like, I was, like, really losing it. And you know what? Then, like, that wasn't it. Like, I went back out, and I was living in this house, and it was a really bad house. Like, I just, something bad was going to happen. Well, something bad was always going to happen, because I was severely paranoid, and I thought everybody was going to kill me. And I was there, like, I would start, like, drinking or doing whatever I was doing, and I'd immediately get, like, everything stopped working. Like, you know when people talk about that? Like, there was no, like, romantic, glory, fun, it was dark, and it was so bad that, like, I knew, like, I would just, I barely had to do anything, sip of alcohol, a little bit of drug, before I was just, like, sick and hated myself and just, like, miserable because, like, this was the end of the road. One day I was in the middle of the street, and I also really started yelling at God, right? Because, like, I went to AA, and I couldn't trust you people. Like, I had some bad experience with people. I was like, yeah, right. Like, I would act like I was your best friend, but I did not trust you to really let you see me. You know what I mean? And, I was like screaming in the street one day. I was like, what do you want me to do? I hate you. And like I looked around, everybody had like a Nike shirt on. And I was like God was literally like, just do it. Like, just go to freaking, like, that's a real story. Like, I was like, I don't know if I was like, I know I did a lot of drugs at the time, but like everybody had a Nike shirt on. Like, and I think that like God really was speaking to me, like burning bush experiences, because like I was about to have wet brain. You know, like it wasn't, I'm not special. I literally was just about to be like one of those people that was like talking to the dogs on the street. I'd always like kick off my shoes. Like I was like barefoot, like walking around. And one time, like I, and this was it. Shit, what time is it? Oh, good. Okay. So I had a night where I kind of tried to, thank you, drink or do whatever. And I immediately hated everything. And I went on the roof and, wait, where am I going with this? Actually, this is way too crazy. I can't tell you that part. They were like, where's Josephine? And they're like, she's on the roof. And I don't even, anyway, okay, I'll tell it. All right, so it's the only thing in my head right now, and I really don't want to, but so I just went crazy, and I was like talking to God up there, and I was like, what the hell are we doing? And like the moon like shined down the street, and I was like following the moon. It was like this crazy thing, and then I was like, I need to repent for my sins. And so I started like doing things in people's yard at like 4 a.m. Like this one man had clearly been gardening, and he had like his gardening shirt like all dirty. I like put on his shirt. I was like half naked, and I like put on his shirt, and I started like finishing his planting project, but I was just vandalizing his home. This other house, yeah, this other, it was so bad. This other house, I rearranged their porch, and that looked like crap too. And then this cop pulls up, and he, with his friend, he's just like, hey, what's going on? And I literally, I'm friends with this cop. He reminds me of this all the time. I spit on my hand and tried to wipe the sheriff off the car. And I was like, who are you really? Like, I am telling you, I was literally like gone mad. And he was like, okay. He like sent his buddy away. He's like, I will handle this. And he like gets in the car, and he's like wanting me to tell on these people that I live with. And I was like, drug dealers are people too. And he was like, why are you doing drugs or drinking? And like, you know what? He was really nice. Like, he took me to detox. He like did all these things. And I had this real, like all these spiritual experiences. Like, he just like kept showing up. He was like, if you go back to that house, I'm going to find you. And he did. Like, I went back, and then here he would come. And like, it was just like this whole thing. And finally, like, I remember, oh, there's so much good stuff, but we'll skip it. So this happens, and I eventually went to like Coastal for one of the last times. It wasn't that time, it was one other time after that when he came to find me again. And I'm in Coastal, and I just remember like picking up the phone. It weighed like a million pounds. Like, I was just so sick that like making one phone call to like try to like take the right next step to like get myself some help. None of my family was talking to me. Like, I think they cripple us so much, and I'm really grateful for it, because they were like, no, like they did not want to talk to me anymore. So making those phone calls really hard, and I just, I would make one phone call and take like an hour nap. And I find like so dramatic. And I finally got into a halfway house, and I worked all 12 steps. And I just remember waking up, and like, my brain attacks itself. Like, we have a thinking disorder. I don't know if mine's worse than y'all's, but like, it will like literally tell me I'm the biggest piece of crap in the whole entire world sometimes. Especially in early recovery. And I would just get up and go on a run. I'd be like, all right, God, we're going on a run. I hate myself. And like, I really just tried to stay busy, because like, I would talk myself out of doing everything. Like, I became like a yes person so much that one time, like, I signed up to do this weird wrestling thing and in the gym, and it was just two guys and me. And my friend like came up there. She was like, what is going on? And I was like, I just said yes. And they were like on top of me. Anyway, I don't know why I said that. But like, I was like, I have to say yes to everything. And they were like, come to this new thing. And they were not even alcoholics. And anyway, that was funny. But I just said yes to everything. And I worked the 12 steps. And I actually had a situation happen. I worked the 12 steps. I had like the shift and the whole deal. I was helping other women. And my mouth was really infected. And I was on like a waiting period to get help with that. And you know what? I removed myself from AA because like, I got sick of hearing myself talk about my pain in my mouth, and I couldn't do anything about it. And I just kept thinking, you know what, I need to do less AA, and it'll be better. I just won't go to this meeting. I won't go to that. So you know what? I removed myself from AA, and I actually, that was my last relapse in 2015, and it was terrible. Oh, my God. When you work the 12, it's like, I'm there. God's there. All my recovery's there. And it's like, you don't fit in with the people who are drinking anymore, you know? Like, so I did do that, and after that, that relapse was really scary because I immediately, in like a week, was like overdosing. And I had to go to the hospital, and then I went back to rehab, actually. And from there, like, that, I've been sober since. So I have had multiple sponsors. Am I doing okay on time? Great, thanks. So it's like, I think I need to speed it up. So 2015, it was really good for me. It was better, like, honestly, going from the halfway house to, or going from Coastal to the halfway house was actually really hard. Like, I was happy this last time to just go to rehab because I was coming off of stuff where I, like, had, like, rages in meetings. Like, I've had to make more amends in my recovery, which is perfect because I thought I skated out of amends because I was like, all these people were not sober. So I screwed over really messed up people that I really can't even come in contact with. Like, I'm going to be fine. Because I was really scared to make amends. I admit I was, like, wrong in front of somebody. And I've had to make so many in recovery because I've just been, like, such a jerk. Super dramatic. Like, I could not gossip about you because everything made me mad. You were, like, my friend, but when I got away from you, like, I would just talk crap about you. And it had nothing to do with you. So, like, that's another thing, too. Like, if I used to pick up girls from the halfway house and, like, I could really understand what they were going through, you know? Like, they're mad at everybody else in there. It has nothing to do with them, like I said. That's very much how I was. So I just went to rehab that time, my last time, and it was really nice because I could just be around a bunch of people. Like, that process has worked for me, whether it's been, like, halfway house, rehab, like, just to be around it and be completely, like, engulfed in it. It's always been good for me because, like, the first 90 days, like, yeah, right. It's too easy for me to, like, get upset about something and go, like, drink over it. So I had a lot of beautiful sponsors. I've always had a home group. Like, I always have a home group, and I always do service. And it's actually been harder for me not to do those things because, like, now I'm in school, and, like, I really love using. It's like the best tool. Like, anytime I have a friend and she has, like, a breakup or something dramatic, I'm like, we are gonna do so much service. You don't even know what's gonna be happening to you, because, like, it's, I can get really distracted with that and not feel my feelings. So in the beginning, like, that was great for me. And then I remember I had this huge falling out, like, in recovery with all these women. Oh, my God, I was devastated. They were, like, so cool, my age. And you know what? I just didn't fit in with them. It's almost like I played a huge role in it. I went and I made amends to her. But it's like they were all dating men that I had, like, hooked up with in my drinking. So I didn't really fit in with them anymore. And I feel like God was, you know, taking me to a different direction. And you know what? So many things have changed in recovery. Like, I feel like that's happened a lot. Like, I've outgrown situations. And for me, it's been, like, really hard. Because I don't want to let go of things. Like, I will hold on to something till there is nothing left. Like, I'm like, this is going to work. We're going to be friends forever. Like, and also, like, I fought with everybody. So it's like, once we've been in a fight, like, we're friends for the rest of our life. Like, somebody said to me at my job the other day, they were like, I think you're the most liked person here. I'm like, I've literally fought with everyone here and made amends. Like, we have a mutual understanding. Like, we are like family here. And I'm really grateful for that. So what else has happened? So I had this really great sponsor for a while, and like I said, I really struggled with codependency, and like, oh my God, I remember we just got really close, and my boyfriend at the time, like, her and I just, like, kind of had to part ways. Like, it got really bad. Like, I would be, like, always talking about what she told me to do. Like, it was, like, not healthy, like, relationship. I'd be like, well, she says, da-da-da-da. Like, my boyfriend at the time was like, I don't care what she says. Like, it was this whole dramatic thing. And I remember when her and I, like, we, like, ended our relationship, like, I was, like, crying on the floor. My boyfriend was like, are you gay? And I'm like, yes, yeah. And I really had, like, yeah. I was like, I love her. Like, it was so bad. I don't know why I'm telling you guys this. So, you know what, like, I've always had really strong sponsorship. it was just what I needed at the time with her and the whole group. And that's been something in my recovery, like, I think even when I don't do things perfectly, like, I always have people with, like, a lot of sobriety. Like, I'm feral. I don't know. Like, sometimes I see people come into YPG and they can just get a sponsor with, like, a few years and, like, they seem fine. I am not. Like, I need 30 years being like, no, stop. And I'm like, all right. And so when we ended that mutually, that relationship, like, I got, like, this new sponsor, and we had opposite schedules, and I loved it first. I was like, I am free. I'm like, I don't need to do this that much. Like, I've been doing all this work. Like, I think I can ride out for a minute. Thank you. And, you know what? I started feeling like crap. And it's funny, because I get far removed, and I'm like, what is a meeting, really? You know, like, what are we actually doing here anyway? Like, I'll just talk to anybody else. Like, I don't need to talk to, like, it's just crazy. So I bottomed out really bad. Also, I got out of my relationship at the beginning of this year. I was with this person for 4 years, and we lived together. And I was like, we were having babies. We were getting married. Like, he is the guy. And he is not right now, at least. But I, when I got out of that relationship, I was, like, mad at God at the beginning of the year. Like, it's been an insane year, you guys. I was like, you know what, God? I'm having a baby, okay? This did not work out, but I'm going to go get one. And it got close. My friends were terrified. My family was terrified. I found this guy. And I was like, you and me. And he's like, all right, I've never done that before. We were going to have a baby. And he was like, we'll get married. He's like, okay. I did know him from my past, but, like, insane. I really liked him. And all of our red flags were just beautiful. But my family was so scared. They were like, oh my God, we're terrified over here. Everybody's sweating. They were like, please don't let this happen. And for me with my family, I was like, well, you guys can't say shit because I've been living life on life terms with you assholes. My sister and her husband, forget it. So it's like, I didn't even care what they thought. I'm like, fuck you guys. Like, I've been dealing with your shit. I'm sad now. I get to be handicapped. Fuck you. And you know what? It was great. I actually learned a lot from that guy because there were so many moments in our relationship, whatever we were having, that I was like, oh my God, I did this to my ex. Like, he, like, cornered me and was, like, being really aggressive, and I was, like, looking like a scared dog, and he was like, do you feel like I'm attacking you? I'm like, yes. And I was having these, like, moments, like, I think everything in my life, like, the one thing that I do try to do is, like, when I have situations, like, I really try to, like, do the 12 steps on them all the time. Like, and that guy, like, no matter what situation, like, that seemed so insane. I'm, like, meeting this guy. I want to have a baby with him. We barely know each other. We're insane. But I learned so much from it. Like, sometimes we just go through stuff like that on the outside. It looks like trash. And everybody's like, whoa, you're about to crash this train. But I needed to do that. And I learned so much. And I was able to do so much step work on that and learn a lot about myself, my last relationship, what I did, what, you know, didn't work out. And a lot of times in my life, like, I feel like people get moved in and out for me to, like, really see that, like, the one relationship that I have that's permanent in my life is, like, my relationship with my higher power. And everything else is temporary. And whether you have, like, this God you identify with, right? Like, for me, my higher power, I have some religious practices. I'm not even religious. I just have things that I like. I do my own religion in my closet. Okay, I got a prayer closet. We have a great time in there. And for me, like, my higher power lives in me. So I think of it like, if you don't have this, like, idea exactly, like, just nurture your soul. Like, because the steps people, like, and I've said it, I've been one to say, like, you know, we have to, like, do the step work so that we can get rid of the stuff that's in between me and God. But God was never not there. My higher power was always there. It's the relationship that I damage with myself that I hate myself. And so, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, my higher power lives in me, and I think if you just nurture yourself and you don't have that or whatever it is for you, that was just been really important. Like, the steps have been just me, like, forgiving myself and helping other people and loving myself. Like, today, like, I just want to love all of it, you know? Because, like, I was so insecure. I still get insecure, but I'm way less insecure now than I was, and I could not have done that without AA. Like, there are so many, even, like, being in psychology, I'm like, everybody just needs AA in here. You get a step, and you get a step, just like Oprah or whatever you were saying. Like, I have a hard time reading this stuff because I'm like, It's a spiritual malady, okay? All these personality disorders, everybody in AA, we're like a pile of personality disorders in here. I don't know, like, it's hard to tell, and it's like the 12 steps work. They just worked for me. And how am I doing on time? I'm doing, thank you. Okay, so my last bit, I think that's all I have. Is that all I have? Wait a second, I got like two spiritual things on a card in case it was like, well, if it gets real bad. I said all these things, so I'm good. All right, thank you.